welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic, the inaugural first show. My name is Mark, Landing Crew Wheeler, and we are out here today talking about kayak fishing the Mid-Atlantic region, basically from North Carolina all the way up to Delaware, and everything in between. So, folks, like I said, my name is Mark, Landing Crew Wheeler, and basically, we're going to have some fun on this show today. We're going to, you know, play around a little bit and see how things work out. So, right now we have on the line Rob, a bad backcast DeVore. How are you doing today, sir?
All right, man. How you doing?
Doing great.
Glad you got a show going here, man. It's a good region for you to have a lot of kayak fishing going on up there. It's a great fishery up there, man. So,
yes, it is.
Glad that you're on.
Yeah, it's you know, we had so many people, you know, that listen to the show and were, you know, that I talked to, and they're like, you know, when are we going to get a Mid-Atlantic one? When are we get one for the Bay, you know, Chesapeake Bay and everything else? I was like, well, you know, let me talk to the main man. By the way, Chip Treehugger Gibson is on the line also. Chip, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing good, Mark. Glad to have you on tonight. And, yeah, we listen to what people ask. So you're here, and hopefully that'll work.
Yes, definitely. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you cannot call in, there is some technical difficulties going on. But luckily enough, if you go to the chat room, which is pulled up, you click on Kayak Fishing Radio, you're going to see a little thing that says, let me do it, private, send me your number, and I will dial out to you. I have that capability. I have the technology to do that. So that way you can come on, we can talk, we can chat, we can have a good time. All right, folks, so we're basically what each of my show is going to do is we're going to have, you know, reports. This is ranging from tackle shops to charter captains to guides to even the piers that come up and down the East Coast and in the Bay. Basically, everyone goes, well, why are you going to do the piers? Well, basically, if the piers are catching fish, they're there, and we're going to catch them too. Just got to get out there. That's half the problem. So we're going to start from the south today. We're going to start with North Carolina with the Red Drum Tackle. Their phone number is 252-995-5414, and they're in Buxton, North Carolina. They reported some massive blues all over the place. I mean, they were catching 15-pounders, the average between 8 and 10 pounds. Y'all, that's some big fish for down there, big blues for down there. They were also catching some puppy drum, some legal-sized puppy drum, which is excellent. You know, to see that they're already here, at least down there they are. And also some sea mullet and flounder, which, you know, everyone's catching sea mullet and flounder nowadays. AKA kingfish on the sea mullet. So, I mean, get on there, down there, and have some fun. Also, we have the Oregon Inlet Fishing Center. Their phone number is 252-441-6301, or you can call them toll-free at 1-800-272-5199. Now, these people down at Oregon Inlet, hence the Oregon Inlet Fishing Center, and they reported, you know, lots of blues. Lots and lots of blues, lots of flounder, and some big trout were weighed in this past week, which is, you know, great for everyone out there. I mean, get on them trout, get on them flounder. Both places reported they were catching them on brain fart. They were catching them on gudgeons or mama chugs or minnows, however you want to call it, gulp, anything on the bottom has been really doing well. And the blues, of course, anything silvery, shiny, moving fast, the blues will hit. And then for our first pier report, the Outer Banks Fishing Pier, they reported the past couple of days an absolute onslaught of the sea mullet, roundhead. Basically, they were flipping out. And if you ever wanted to give them a call, their phone number is 252-441-5740. Now, usually I would have more fishing reports from down North Carolina, but unfortunately, a lot of them lost power due to some wicked storms that rolled through today, and I didn't get a chance to get a hold of many of them. But that's basically the idea. A lot of the Red Drum and Oregon Inlet were reporting that the cobia should be showing up here soon. A couple of fish were weighed in south of them, and the boats leaving out of Oregon Inlet were picking them up really far south. So, you know, I give it another day or two to a week before we start seeing more cobia show up, and that means good things. All right. Now to my neck of the woods, Virginia. We're going to start off Virginia with Oceans East 2. Fish deserve choices, ladies and gentlemen. Oceans East 2 is one of my favorite tackle shops, personally. If you need to get a hold of them, their numbers are 757-464-6544. Kayak Kevin Whitley, he's there all the time. So if you, you know, get a hold of him, you can always have a good conversation and learn something new. I mean, their reports are just awesome. We'll start off with Rudy Inlet. The Blues, the Flounder, and some, there's some pups and croaker being caught. I was there Sunday down in Rudy. Didn't get many blues. Got a lot of flounder. A lot of flounder. Didn't find any pups, but I did get into some trout. By the docks. If you fish down there, you know what I mean. Any of the dock pilings are just an awesome spot. And more croaker than I knew what to do with. Now let's head to the bay. Bay report from Oceans East 2 is at the first island. You're looking at hit and miss flounder, folks. Maybe some stripers, but first island's not really all that hot. And, of course, there's always reds and blacks that float around there every so often. Red and black drum that float around there every so often. But where I would go if I knew where to go this weekend, it would definitely be the Eastern Shore, and that deserves one of these. Got to get to the Eastern Shore, folks, if you live in Virginia. Right now, stripers are everywhere. Blues are everywhere. Big bull drum in black and red variations, and some flounder also being caught, too. Absolutely killing it in there. Also, Princess Anne Distributing, which has been serving Hampton Roads since 1958. Their phone number is 757-383-8692. They report basically the same. If you're going to hit, you know, around the piers and everything else, you're looking at a lot of croaker, a lot of roundhead, a lot of things like that right now. You know, they're selling a lot of gudgeons, because that's what the flounder are eating, along with small spot and croaker. So get into Princess Anne Distributing and get all your bait and tackle needs. And then last but not least, we have Long Bay Point tackle off of Old Great Neck Road. They are the largest live bait. They have the largest live bait selection in Tidewater. These guys actually have, folks, if you need looking for small spot and small croaker, they have them. Eels, crab, you name it, they've got it. Their phone number is 757-481-7517. And they're located on Lynn Haven, so they know what's going on in Lynn Haven right now. Their report is basically blues, lots of blues, pretty good size on them, you know, 3-4 pounders. Along with some keeper flounder at the tennis courts. A couple guys have been pulling in puppy drum, which is an excellent sign. We didn't get many puppy drum in Lynn Haven last year, so to see that they're there is a very, very good thing. And, you know, spot and croaker, they're showing up too. So things are really gearing up down here in Hampton Roads and across the way to Eastern Shore. Also up in the Northern Neck, thank you to TidalFish.com for sending me this report on the Northern Neck regions of Virginia. Striper season opened up with an absolute bang for guys up there working the small little creeks and channels coming off of the bay, absolutely limiting out on, you know, schoolie stripers and doing a very, very nice job up there. Congrats to everyone who got their limit in the past couple of days. Good on you and keep it up. All right. Now moving up to the Maryland. Now, unfortunately, Maryland is closer to the top of the bay, and they've been having some really nasty weather with some really nasty water. Yes, boo, children, boo. Ron's Fishing Supplies in Parkton, Maryland, reports that barely anyone is going out and fishing due to the nasty weather. The past week has just been awful, especially with the weather up in the Susquehanna and them forcing to open up the floodgates up there has just turned the water into chocolate milk. Basically, no one's really been able to do a lot of fishing unless they go in some back bays and back little areas to try to get out of the nastiness, basically. Good on you if you can get out and try, but from what I think her name was Karen said, that everything has just been awful. Storms every night, that's just not helping anything. Hopefully, let's keep our fingers crossed that our brethren up in Maryland can get out and have some fun. Also, Ocean City, Maryland, out in the Atlantic side, has been having some luck with some drum and some stripers and a few flounder here and there. But their water temps just haven't reached that high enough yet to really get things rolling. So, here soon they should be kicking, and hopefully we get some great reports from up north. Also, we're going to take a step up to Delaware. If I can find my paper, there it is. That's the wrong one. No, there it is. With the Anglers Fishing Center in Lewes, Delaware, right off the Delaware Bay. Their phone number is 302-644-4533. And they reported, drum were being caught. Not many, but a handful of drum here and there. You pretty much expect the same thing as Ocean City right now. Maybe a few stripers roll in here and there. But, again, the water temps just really haven't hit where they wanted to. For that area to really be picking up for the flounder and everything else. But eventually they will, and hopefully I can get some better info and jive from them turkeys to see how things roll with them. Now personally, again, folks, if you want to call in, come on to the chat room. I see we have three guests in the chat. Say hello. Tell me who you are, and either post it on the chat, which I don't recommend, or click on the Kayak Fishing Radio name over top of the guest list, hit private, and then send me your number so I can call out. So that way you can come and talk to me. Tell me your fishing reports, because that's what matters, folks. We need you to tell me your fishing reports. You can also go to Kayak Fishing Radio at Facebook.com and post your reports on there on the Mid-Atlantic page. Let me know, hey, I was fishing this past weekend. I actually tore up the, blue-belly speckle toad at blah, blah, blah lake, and just want to let you know. And I'll give you all the credit in the world. Folks, this is what makes it fun is, your participation. All right, so like I said, I fished Rudy Inlet this past weekend. Fished the outgoing tide and absolutely had a blast catching flounder. More flounder than I can count. Nothing huge right off the bat. And was able to pull one keeper flounder, a nice little 19-inch one, out of there. So, yes, 19 inches. For y'all in Virginia, the legal limit for flounder has changed from last year. It is 17 and a half inches, and you can keep four. So get out there and get them 18 inches that you, or the 17 and a half you had to throw back last year and made you so angry. I know they made me. So, fished a lot of that, and then the tide changed. We had a full moon, which kind of made things kind of muddy. Really high tides, let's put it that way. It started ripping through Rudy, something fierce, and just really tore me up personally. But it was a nice paddle back to the ramp. That was definitely a major plus. So did that Sunday, and then opening season for Spring Striper was on Monday. Went out to the Hampton Roads Bridge Tunnel and braved another wicked high tide, and somehow made it back in after pretty much a skunking, which was tough personally for me, because I've never been out there and got skunked like that before. Caught a couple, croaker and flounder, but in the striper range, I think the water was running way too hard for me to keep up with everything, or the stripers keep up at the same time. So that kind of made that very difficult. That's what's been going on. We've had some wicked storms roll through today. Hopefully no one was out and got caught in them. And if you did, good. Hope you stayed safe. All right, folks. Like I said, we have Rob a Bad Badcast on the line and Chip Treehugger Gibson. Chip hosts the Thursday night show, the main show, the big show, down hosted out of Atlanta, Georgia. Land of the... Land of the banjo.
He's got a kayak down there, don't he?
He's got the kayak. You see that kayak?
He must think he's some kind of half-ass Eskimo or something.
What's going on, Chip?
Not much, man. I'm just listening. You're doing a great job. You should call some of these guys at these piers and talk to them.
You know what? That's a pretty good idea. Let me take a look here. I'll look it up and we'll call one that I think might be willing to talk right now. And then we have Rob, a Bad Backcast, like I mentioned earlier.
Yeah, man.
So when are you going to put points on the Kayak Wars board, man?
Well, it just goes to show, Haywood was asking me last week the same thing. And, it just goes to prove, just goes to show I'm a terrible fisherman, okay? I'm a terrible fisherman, and 19.5 inches is about as good as I can get. And, I'm terrible at fishing, man. It just proved it.
He's basing himself.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah. Talking about them snook on the beach and, I bet you if you would have put a measuring tape on your buddy after you landed him, that they would have accepted that.
He's every bit of 6'2" and 210, so that would have qualified in like the tarpon division, right?
Yeah, exactly. Could have had him hold on like a stick on his nose. You would have called it a marlin and called it a day.
I could have tossed him my my Miradine and said, "Here, hold this a second," while he was in the water. Quick, got a picture and said, "Oh, it was a 200-pound tarpon."
Yeah, there you go. There you go. So
if you hold out far enough in front of you, it looks bigger.
Yeah, that's a nickel for every time I heard that. So. We'll see if we can call one or two fishing piers in Virginia.
Hey, do you know, you ever heard of the dry tortugas? I mean, I know it's not up in Virginia or nothing, but it's down in it's 80 miles west of the Florida Keys.
Right.
Yeah, no, maybe. Well, did you happen to see Sam Root's pictures from... him and a bunch of guys went out there on a kayak fishing camping trip. And I think it's Fort Jefferson, it's called, Dry Tortugas National Park. And it's on saltyshores.com.
Man, cool.
look up those pictures. Those are some, that dude's like a world class photographer. But those pictures were just unbelievably awesome. That's a kayak camping. That's a kayak camping trip, man. I'll see if I can hunt up the link there in a little while and post it up on the chat room for you.
Oh, definitely, definitely, man. Definitely. So, all right, we're going to see if we can't get a hold of the Sandbridge Pier in Sandbridge, Virginia. This is one of my summer haunts.
Now, Mark, hold on a second now. I just want to tell you, you know, I mean, I've been doing my own show since December now. And
okay. The
best way to get these, when you call out, the best way to get them to talk to you is ask them if their refrigerator is running.
Okay. No, I'm not going to play that game.
When they answer the phone, bait shop, that's the best way to do it, bro.
All right, folks, let's see what goes on. So, Sandbridge is a pretty much small pier. It's, you know, it's out of the way. We'll see if anyone's home in the shack to answer the phone.
Good morning. This is Orion Fishing Pier, Davis, Virginia. Today is Wednesday, May 18th. We have a high tide at 8:48 a.m. Low tide is at 2:49 p.m. And high
sounds like an answering machine.
9:12
yeah.
p.m.
All right, maybe not. Let's try another one here in a second. But yeah, Sandbridge is a really nice little fishing pier. It's very successful in the fall for the fall drum run. And it's right along the North Carolina border. So it's got a good flow of different fish that run through there. I mean, heck, 2 years ago we pulled a tarpon off the pier. You know,
nice.
You just never know off that pier. Yeah, it was absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. So we're going to give a shout out here to Lynn Haven Pier, which is right off of Lynn Haven Inlet, right down the street from my house. We're going to see if we can't get one of them to answer and see what they do. So, I haven't seen anyone in the chat room yet that, you know, to say hello, because I see three guests. Guests, let me know you're there, you know. Like I said, there's by the way, there will be a prize given away, just like your regular radio show. You do something, and you know you get something for free. Today is a bait giveaway with a foldable Frabel net. This thing is awesome. It extends out to like 6 feet, opens up to about 20 inches. It is really something that I think everyone should get to stow away in your kayak instead of having a net hanging in your crate and tangling everything out. This way you can get stowed away. You don't have to worry about it. All right. Let's try Lynn Haven Fishing Pier. Let's try it one more time. Come on, folks.
Lynn Haven Pier.
Hi, my name is Mark Wheeler with Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic, and you are on the air. How are you doing today?
Good, how are you?
Doing great. And who am I speaking to?
This is Jenny.
Hi, Jenny. We're just calling to, you know, you are on the air to see what's going on at Lynn Haven and see what the reports are.
Well, we opened the very end of April, and since then it's been mostly bluefish, roundhead, which is some people call whiting or sea mullet, pretty average in size, some a little bigger, and we've seen some small flounder, not a lot of big ones, and the crabs have started biting already.
Great. Business has been good?
Business has been pretty good for this time of year, yeah.
Great, great, great. All right. Yeah, well, yeah. Well, do you know what everyone's using to catch the blues and flounder and the roundhead?
Well, roundhead, they typically use either bloodworms or squid. And bluefish, a lot of people use squid. Bluefish will bite almost anything. And a lot of people use jigs, gotcha clubs, spoons, redheads with grub worms. And flounder is one of those things that's kind of, everybody has their own way of catching flounder.
Right.
There's no one way that's correct.
That is very, very true. All right. Well, Jenny, it was an absolute pleasure talking to you tonight. And,
well, thank you very much.
And hopefully I'll be down there soon to enjoy the new Lynn Haven Pier.
We'll certainly be here.
All righty. You have a wonderful night.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, folks, that was Lynn Haven Fishing Pier with an on-demand report. You got to love on-demand reports like that. And hopefully I can get enough brownie points to call a couple more down the road to entertain everyone. So, well, I guess the main thing we're seeing here is there's a lot of flounder and blues in the water. I would really hope for some other Mid-Atlantic people to give a call in, but I understand with everything going on with the Blog Talk Radio, it's making things kind of difficult. So guess what? You're going to hear more of my wonderful voice and then the two other guys on the lines.
Oh, my God. Well, I'll tell you what, Mark. You know, the bluefish there, that's not a bad thing. I'll go catch bluefish every day, any day of the week, man, and that is that's a whole buttload of fun right there, buddy.
Oh yeah.
So I
love personally catching bluefish. That's what I grew up catching back in Long Island, off the Montauk Point and everything else. Ho, oh, we got a phone call. Yee! All right, yeah. Area code 804, you are on the air.
Hey, what's up, man? It's Rob Choi.
Hey, Rob, what's going on, man?
What's up, dude? I was listening to you. It sounds like you needed somebody to call in, so like, what the heck?
There you go. I could always use, people to call in. It makes my life a little easier. you don't have to hear my mouth run the whole time. So what's going on, man? You been out lately?
Just some small stuff around James and some freshwater stuff. Nothing big.
Catching them kitties?
Once again, small stuff. Nothing over like 20 inches. Everything is pretty small.
All right.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on. I know I wanted to get out for some striper action, but it's tough. Some gas is expensive now, and it takes me at least an hour to get down to HRBT. So I know there's some in the James too, but with the rains and all, the river's shot up, and so it's, yeah.
Yeah, that's the main problem I'm hearing from the people that live in up north in Maryland and the Susquehanna area is that they had to open all the floodgates at Holtwood Dam and the rest of the dams up there, and it's absolutely, killed the fishing up there, just blew everything away. Either the current's running so hard or the water's so muddy that, you can't see your paddle in the water when it's floating on the surface. So makes things rough.
Yeah, I'm hoping it doesn't get too dirty down by HWT soon because I'm actually trying to get out there tomorrow night.
Well, I was there Monday night, and the water was crystal clear. I mean, I could see my bait 6 feet down. It was just absolutely awesome. I haven't seen it that clear in a couple of years. But then again, I don't get out to the HRBT like I'd like to half the time. But so, Rob, if you were fishing for flounder, what baits and what techniques would you use?
I am a jig guy, so anywhere from quarter ounce to half an ounce, sometimes even up to an ounce, depending on how deep I want to work it. There's people. I'm getting this weird echo. Are you getting an echo?
From me?
Yeah. So maybe it's just me. I don't know.
I can hear it too, man. I don't know if I'm echoing or not.
Yeah, you're echoing too.
It's not coming from me. And I can't hear it, except for my lab barking.
It's weird. Yeah, it's gone now. So, anyway, yeah, there's times I'll jig at the first island even, and that's like 30 or 40 feet down. So, I mean, sometimes it's 2 hours to jig edge. But it really depends on what depth of what the hazard would be, I guess. Usually, for HRBT, it'll be 4 ounces, 3/4 ounce, and like a small, you know, what is it, like 4-inch swimming mullet or arsenic, kills for that kind of trip. Look like that works pretty good in summer.
Nice.
Yeah, when I'm going deep, I'll do the seven inch jerk shad soap. It's amazing how an 18 inch fish will try to cram that 7 inch bait into its throat.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What colors do you use, man?
Mostly pearl and chartreuse. Sometimes there's that nuclear chicken. It's like the red and green looking thing. I'll try them all, man. It's just kind of, I got like this, what do you call it, the airtight, watertight Tupperware thing. I just crammed it with about all sorts of different stuff. And so I just kind of pick a mood and see what I like. If it doesn't work for a little bit, then I'll just switch it up. But I normally chartreuse or white pearl.
Right. Those seem to be the two hot colors for up here in the Mid-Atlantic area. And actually, I've been using a bass. I've obviously stuck on the Bass Assassin chicken on a chain, or as some people call it, the Charlie on a chain. It's a and I kind of was trying to figure out what it looked like, and I got a dozen gudgeons the one day, or mama chugs or minnows, however you want to call it, and went ahead and pulled one out, and it fell next to one of my Bass Assassins. I looked at it and I was like, huh, it looks exact, the Bass Assassin looks exactly like the gudgeon. I mean, absolutely, just, you know, from the little chartreuse in the tail to the brown back and the pearl belly, just right on. And it was, so that's my new favorite bait to go to. And the flounder like it too, so that makes things nice.
Very cool. Yeah, if the water's real clear, I like to go with a natural look like, but I think it just looks like, I mean, it's like brown, like greenish brown. There's no other colors to it, so I kind of like those as well, depending on the clarity.
Right. Oh, yeah. Do you guys, Chip and Mr. Badcast, do you guys go after flounder when you guys get up the water?
Absolutely, man. Sand Key Pass is probably one of the best flounder areas on this coast, man. So, especially in the fall, in the autumn and in the spring, great times to get out there and fish for flounder. I usually, I'll use, you know, DOA shrimp, of course. That's usually my go-to, or a root beer sparkle with a chartreuse tail, DOA cal shad. Those
right.
Tend to really do well. You know, depending on, you know, the water, the quality of the water and stuff like that. But usually those will do the trick, man. If you get on some, if you're on some flounder, they'll eat that all day long.
Nice. Very nice. Chip, you get on any flounder? Or
kind
fruit?
Of a, you know, an opportunity catch. We're working a little inlet, you know, with a sandy bottom or something like that, something I think it would be good for flounder habitat. I'll bounce one, just like a gulp bait or, you know, one of those swimming shads, and bounce one along the bottom. But the problem I have is I'm a little impatient, so I don't give it enough time to get down to the bottom, you know, so I don't get it in the strike zone enough for flounder to be grabbing it.
Right. And that, you know, that's the thing I found with flounder is that, you know, you got to take your time and you know, you got to put in the time a lot.
I knew a guy that I'm sure he still does it sometimes. He used to go under Lesnar at night and just work the light line with a rattle trout. around Slack Tide and catch monster flounder all night. It was wild. That's the craziest thing I've ever seen. But currently,
on a rattle trap?
A rattle trap, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so I mean, it was relatively fast action, you know what I mean? You can't really let, because there's a lot of stuff down there, so you can't really let it, he's not like, he let it sink a lot either, you know? He's just kind of working it pretty quick, and they were coming up and smashing it, so I was totally surprised.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, man.
Yeah.
You know, have Flounder do that.
He's probably not too happy about me just telling the whole world about it now, but.
I've used rattle traps for Striper, and that's an insane. Yeah. When they hit that, they hit it hard, and
yeah.
You know you got to make sure you got two hands on the rod and maybe a foot to hold on sometimes because they love to smash.
It makes sense for the stripers and stuff. I just wasn't expecting the flounder to come up off the bottom that high up and go after this thing, you know.
Well, I've had flounder chase my bait. You know, when I'm bound a mountain, I go to reel up. I'll watch them, you know, swim right behind it until they get to the surface and dart right back down.
Nice.
So, you know, I don't see it as being too crazy, just that's kind of nutty to,
see
them eat a rattle trap.
Yeah. Well, it works, apparently.
Yeah, definitely. So, let's see here. Let's go ahead and... If any of you guests on there or on the chat, you can type in whatever you want because it is time for the giveaway. Yes, folks, it's time for the first prize I think that's we've had on Kayak Fishing Radio. And if, I apologize for the echo. Apparently my headset went cranked up too loud because I am halfway deaf. Rather goes through my ear, mouthpiece also. So let's see here. We got to get a good. We'll do this for the first KFR giveaway. We are going to have a little contest of knowledge. Basically, folks, what I'm looking for is in this show, in the report section in the very beginning. Thank you for the little bit of music and dun-dun-dun at the end. I named five different species that were caught, along with some other ones. If y'all can name five of the species, you will get the Fraybill fold-away net, landing net, and a prize package of different soft plastic baits ranging from Gulp to Bass Assassin. We're adding some jig heads in there too, so y'all can get out in the around the bay that I know work, and get on them fish. So, who's gonna start? Come on, folks.
Is this like
Shark?
On the chat room, or is this like right now?
You can do the chat room. You can call in. Doesn't really matter. Hopefully, we get some more people.
Blues, stripers, flounder, croaker, roundhead. Is that not five? I thought that was five.
I lost count. But anyway, Rob Troy, you are the winner. Congratulations.
I should have given somebody else at least a chance, right? I kind of threw up.
Woo! Oh, you got to jump on it, man.
Yeah, you got – yeah. All right. Hammerhead also just – Mr. Greg Crisp, who is in the chat room, just came up with them also. And you know what? I'm feeling generous. So, gentlemen, I am going to hook you both up with a Fraybill fold-away landing net and the prize package of baits. Congratulations.
Woo! Nice. Yay.
All right. Go ahead and PM me y'all's address, and I'll have them sent out hopefully in the next day or two, so that way you guys can enjoy it. And then, feel free to take some pictures and post them up on the Facebook page. And, I won this on Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic.
Cool.
All right, guys.
All right.
That's what this is all about. Is, you know, camaraderie. You know, sitting around the table. You know, just like you would do with the rest of your buddies, sitting around the table, enjoying one of these. And, you know, just talking fishing and, you know, getting the opportunity to win some stuff. You know, just you can win stuff just for listening. Make sure you like us on Facebook. And, you know, make sure you mention that, hey, I like the Facebook page of Kayak Fishing Radio. And I would like to see this the host of the Mid-Atlantic stay on for a little longer. So that's make sure that... Make sure you mention that. We lost you. So,
cut out
Rob. It's the two Robs. Got to make sure I specify which Rob I'm talking about.
You're cutting out, dude.
I'm cutting out?
Yeah, you were. Got your back now.
Think you're back now, yeah.
Okay, sorry about that. I think it's because we lost Chip, and here he is. He's back.
I'm driving the... driving the clone around, so we went down in a hole here. You know, some of these hollers in South Georgia are just, you know, pretty deep, so.
Nice. Now, folks, what was it? Back in President's Day of this year, we all met down in Jacksonville. I'm going to keep that short. But I have my own line of baits, Freak Nasty Baits, and gave a bunch away to the people that showed up for the yakangler.com boondoggle, and Mr. Hammerhead, Greg Crisp, just wrote on the chat room, I caught a bass on one of your plastics 2 weeks ago, but the bass shook it off, so I couldn't get a picture of it. But you know what? It's good to see that the plastics are working. Thank you, Greg. It's greatly appreciated, sir. And you have no idea how what that means to me to, you know, have other people catch fish on something that I created. Thank you, sir. All right.
Hey, Mark, just out of curiosity, how long did it take you to drive down there, man?
It's from Virginia Beach. It's about a 10-hour drive to Jacksonville.
Okay.
And that was, you know, without a lot of traffic. I, you know, made it pretty easily. I know from Virginia Beach to Tampa, it's about 14 hours, and the same thing with that place that has no fish in it called Mosquito Lagoon. There are no fish in Mosquito Lagoon, just to let you all know. that place is pretty awesome. And actually, that's going to be the subject of next week's show, is basically what are your limitations on going fishing? Are you willing to drive, you know, from, you know, across country to a different state, or are you just willing to drive around the corner to your, you know, little pond or ocean launch site? You know, I want to hear what you guys have, so come on to next week's show, Wednesday at 8, same time, same place, to, you know, tell me all about it. Personally, for me, I'll drive anywhere. Just to get on someplace new, and you know, that's a major thing for me, is learn something new. But we'll hit more of that next week. So,
let me ask you this, Mark. Are you, when we do the next Yak Angler boondoggle, which is it's rumored to be either Key Biscayne or Isle Mirada, one of the two, are you going to drive that or are you going to fly it? Because you said that you're bringing the family.
Yeah, I think for ease of making sure I have everything, I'm going to have a soon-to-be 3-year-old by that time of the year and a 5-year-old. It would behoove me to drive, kind of doing what Mr. Hammerhead did. You know, I had the whole family, drove down, stopped for a night. You know, I don't want to overwork the kids and sit in the car seat all day, because then they just start bouncing off the walls and driving you nuts. And, you know, so that way I can I'll be sane enough when I get down there, and we'll be able to show up with four instead of just me and my wife, because I left the other two on the side of the road. Not saying I do that, but because they drove me insane. But I take enough time off that I could be able to do that, get down there, pretty much do the same thing Hammerhead did. Spend the time fishing, and then on the way back, stopping off at McMouse Land and spend some time there, and then taking the rest of the drive back home.
Good deal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, of course, you know, making the needed stop, so we'll be driving by it, the IGFA Museum. That is part of my bucket list in my life to go there. So...
It's pretty cool seeing all the old, like, all the old lures, and you look at stuff and you go, wow, man, they used to catch fish on that thing.
Yeah.
So it's pretty neat, man. That's definitely a good place to stop in and check it out, man. Spend an afternoon.
When I used to go fishing in Long Island and back in Montauk, being able to sit there and, you know, walk on to Montauk, the Gosman's Dock, and seeing the replica of Frank Mundus, the Monster Man's supposed to be world record great white shark. It's absolutely awe inspiring to hear the stories of, you know, what this man used to do. You know, and
I believe it was that was an all tackle record, I believe.
Yeah, but there were some things that he did that disqualified him, let's say, and you know he's unfortunately he did pass a couple years ago, and he's near the end of his life. Yes, he killed a lot of sharks. Yes, he did some things that he wasn't very proud of, but the man is right before he passed did some great things in the conservation side for the sharks, you know, and he. You know, I hope that, you know, we all have our moments when, you know, we sit there at the end, you know, at the end of the day and we go, man, I really shouldn't have kept that fish because I don't know if I'm going to keep it. You know, conservation, folks, is what, you know, keeps our kids and our kids' kids, you know, the ability to, you know, catch what we're catching now and hopefully catch better, you know, when they're our age and for their kids. That is our only hope. And
help me, Obi-Wan. You're my only hope.
Thank you. Gotta get the kids. Yes, conservation, folks. It is mucho needed. And
well,
it's,
I don't know, Mark. If you've ever seen like those old black and white pictures where you got, you know, dudes. You know, the sepia pictures with the old-time fishing pictures with the dudes with the, you know, there'll be two or three dudes standing out there and between them is about a 25-foot pole full of, like, you know, 7-foot-long tunas, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there wasn't a lot of conservation in mind going on back then, man.
No, but, you know, and you know, there was a different time back then, you know, even into the...
Absolutely.
You know, you look at it, you know, nothing went to waste. You know, not like today where or even 15, 20 years ago when you used to drive the side of the road and, you know, and there was a bluefish blitz and, you know, bluefish are laying in the dumpsters everywhere, you know. You don't see that. You didn't see that back then. Everything got used and, you know, I think that's, you know, I have no problems, folks, keeping fish. Keep all the fish you want. As long as you can, as long as you responsibly consume them,
back around,
you know, I have no problem with it.
Back around the turn of the century, they used to consider snook a trash fish, and back then the numbers were just huge down by Sanibel Island, and they used to go out there and like net those things with huge seine nets, and just bring them in and use them to fertilize crops.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, and surprisingly, we have the same problem up here with the menhaden. Now, that's a whole different show, and one of those where I probably will take maybe one or two callers for that show or even open up all the lines. I'm thinking about it, to get everyone's opinion on the menhaden fishery in the bay. Personally for me, I think that it's out of control. But like I said, that's for another whole different show. What's up, Rob?
I think it's disgusting what they're doing, man. I think they there's so many things that rely on menhaden to survive, and they're just raping the ocean, dude. It's disgusting. That's what I think.
Yeah, and like I said, that's going to be a whole different show, and I might even be able to get a couple of people from the Marine Resources Commission.
Get some CCA people on there or something like that, man.
Yeah. I won't go as far as getting the PETA, because then that would just be bad. And yes, Greg, it will be a 2-hour allotted show, because I know for the first hour it's going to be a lot of griping, and then probably the second hour on how we can fix it and how we can get the fishing community to really buckle down and change
things.
We
need to come together, man. Anytime there's some sort of legislation going on, I feel like there's some people that are really busting their ass to get everybody to sign this, and other people, like, you know, hardcore fishermen, they're turning their shoulders, like, come on, man, you don't understand how important this is.
Yes. Yeah, it's definitely one of those things, folks, that, you know, you're going to want to tune in. It's going to be a big show, and you definitely need to listen and call in and really participate for that one.
Let me jump in here real quick, Mark.
Go ahead.
If you just think about what happened last weekend, and I mean, there were great causes, but I mean, you had Casting for Recovery and the Guy Harvey Foundation. Had two events last weekend, one at Jay Bay, which I know Greg was involved in, and some other folks that I know were down at the Jacksonville Kayak Tournament. It almost 1,000 yak anglers on the water. 700 of them, over 700 in two events, you know, on the East Coast. And just like what Rob said, you know, we have to get together and all go in the same direction. Get all the cats going in the same direction to stand up to, you know, to support the resources. If we can do just two events in one weekend with all, you know, over 700 yak anglers. Just imagine, you know, if you covered the beach in plastic, yaks out there. I mean, it would be incredible.
I was actually thinking that, too. If you get a tournament going on and put the proceeds towards, you know, that type of thing, I mean, you can definitely do something, you know.
Oh, yeah, and you could even get, you know, the Sting Potters out there, you know, and the boats and everything else, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
We could clog up the bay with plastic and you know, motor-driven vessels that, you know, to get the point across, you know, of that what they're doing. Again, we'll leave it at that, because I can see this going into a second hour of menhaden talk, but I want to keep that to for another show. So, all right, folks. I appreciate anyone for listening. I can't really see who's all on except for the two guests that I've seen on the here for the whole allotment. Thank you very, very much. It is greatly appreciated. Mr. Greg Crisp Hammerhead, it was an absolute pleasure to see you on and typing away for letting me know that you caught a fish on one of my plastics. I'm not probably going to sleep tonight, because the grin on my face is going to keep my eyes from closing. Mr. Rob Choi, I will hopefully see you soon down here in Hampton Roads, so we can go fishing together and, you know, get another great little fishing report, sir. Thank you very much for showing up.
Yeah, the sheep's head won't be too far away.
Yes, sir.
Probably by end of June, maybe early July, should be good.
Oh, yeah. I think I just heard
Rob's podcast
just lose his mind thinking about the sheepies that we have up here.
I think the only time Rob Choi gets a small fish is at the bait store. Every time I see a picture, this dude's got like a 40-inch striper or something, man. It's awesome.
I love it, man. Yeah. It's a good time, dude. But, dude, check out my last blog post. It's all small stuff this time.
That's okay. That's cool. Awesome.
You were sympathized with us, guys.
Yeah. those sheepies, man, I've never seen anything like that. That's nuts. Around here, you know, a little 5-pound sheepie is a pretty good one, you know.
Yeah, when I first saw that, I caught like 5-6 pounder. I thought it was great. You know, they pull awesome. And then, like, eventually I found some other spots, and I was like, holy crap. It's just ridiculous.
What do you you've putting steroids in the water or something up there?
We got our own little strain up here. That, you know, it's a little different from the ones a little farther south. So it's a beautiful thing. I hope we can keep the trophy fishery good here, and people doesn't screw things up.
Yeah, that's, you know.
But I'm telling you.
We're doing a great thing with the tog, you know, being able to identify between the males and the females and letting the baby makers go and taking away all the studs or most of the studs. And doing it intelligently is the key. Just like any kind of good conservation. Conservation was, you know, meant to enjoy the fishery and enjoy the bounty that the sea gives us, but to do it responsibly. So, go ahead, bud.
Hey, you know, if you get a chance, check out those pictures from the dry tortugas there on saltyshores.com.
Yeah, I was just checking that out. That was awesome.
That fishery down there is unbelievable. And that island that they're fishing on is, you can only fish, I think, within a mile of shore on that one island. It's all in a no-fishing zone. But it's
phenomenal, too, man.
I've been down there before, and it is just, you know, you're there snorkeling along the, you know, the reef, and there's just, you know, 2 and 3 foot long giant, you know, snappers and, I mean, stuff that you don't even know what it is. And you're like, wow, tarpon hanging out under the dock and stuff. It's crazy.
Yeah, I'm looking at
definitely
these pics
worth
now.
The trip.
Yeah, the pictures
folks,
are amazing.
Go to saltyshores.com. Mr. Sam Root. Sir, you are
he's
a
awesome.
True artist. And just, I mean,
you know,
you're looking.
That's one of the guys that takes, you know, all those pictures in Florida Sportsman and all the Florida fishing magazines, you know. He's he's definitely really good.
Folks, we have a picture here of something that is very near and dear to my heart, the backpacker's pantry of dried food. And a bottle of Crown Royal. nothing like a little bit of Crown to go with your pancakes.
Hey, dude, those backpackers' pantry dinners are pretty good, man.
Oh yeah, they're excellent.
Pad Thai is my personal favorite, and chicken curry, cashew rice is very good too.
I can only eat so many of them because they start reminding me of the MREs from the Marine Corps.
Oh, those are better than MREs, though, man.
Oh, yeah. But there's only so much I can take. Folks, I'm looking at these pictures, and they are just amazing. Again, go to saltyshores.com and check out some of the stuff they have on here. Some of these pictures are absolutely beautiful. There's one where a guy's sitting on the side saddle on his kayak, and and the picture's halfway in the water, halfway out, and it's just bath water. You know, looks like you're looking at a pool. Absolutely amazing. I think that's now on my bucket list. Thank you very much. Saltyshores.com.
Now,
it looks like I'm going to.
There's a whole bunch of if you go back onto the. Main page and go back, there's probably 4 or 5 posts of from them, him and a couple other guys are photographers too. You know, they posted up, you know, multiple posts with all those awesome pictures. But
yeah.
I'll tell you about that trip. It is a little bit pricey getting out there, but it's definitely worth it because it is it's a beautiful trip down there. I know it's not mid-Atlantic or anything like that, but I just figured, you know, you would definitely appreciate that.
Oh yeah. I mean, absolutely beautiful stuff. Absolutely beautiful. All right. So we're going to wrap up the show here. So, Rob Choi, are you going to be going out fishing this weekend?
Man, I wish I was. I'm a groomsman in a wedding, so that's a no-go for me. I am going to try to hit the HWT tomorrow night if everything goes according to plan, but other than that, I don't think I will. I'm dying to get back out to the Eastern Shore, man. I want to get out another one of those bull reds, dude.
Oh, yeah. Oh, trust
black,
me.
The black drum were there, too, so.
Yeah, the blackies have showed up. I know, let everyone know that all the major tackle shops in Virginia, Ocean's East 2, Pinson Sand Distributing, and Long Bay Point all have either frozen and or fresh clams. Chris's Bait and Tackle also has them too. I only got about a 5-minute conversation before they unfortunately lost the power due to the storms that rolled through here today. Didn't get a full report, but he did mention he has clams and he has crabs. So get on them this weekend, folks. We've got Mr. Badcast. Are you going fishing this weekend?
Yes, sir. I haven't quite got my game plan figured out yet, but it's definitely in the works, man, because, you know, a weekend without fishing is like a weekend without sunshine.
Oh, yeah. I've got to get the brownie points taken care of this weekend so I can enjoy the weekend after. So I won't be fishing this weekend during the day at least. Ha, 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 ha. So I feel you on that.
Bummer.
You got to get it done. You know, gotta make the Admiral happy.
Well, you know, Mark, it's getting to make the Admiral happy. Good one. It's getting to the time of year where I'm gonna start taking every Friday off to go fishing and have 3-day weekends and stuff, camp out on the islands and all that stuff. So
awesome.
You know, it's that time of year.
Yeah. Greg Crisp just typed in taking Cub Scouts out this weekend. Greg, you can get in any fishing, even if it is with the Cub Scout little roaring children. Give him a second to type that up. Brownie points and fishing. There you go. Yeah, gotta take care of that. He usually doesn't get asked this very much, but Chip, you going fishing this weekend? Taking the clone out?
No, but the clone and I will be working on the LVTPC, the command edition of the new travel trailer for kayaks and motorcycles for upcoming trip Memorial Day weekend. We'll be chatting about that tomorrow night on Thursdays at Kayak Fishing Radio. So
yes.
Tune in.
Yes, folks. If you haven't already noticed, you have to show up and come on a Blog Talk Radio now, Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Because 8 o'clock at each time slot at 8 o'clock on those 3 days is a different kayak fishing radio show. Yes. Yes, that is right. A whole new kayak fishing radio show. Tuesdays at 8 o'clock, you're going to listen to Mr. Bad Backcast talk about Florida fishing, fly fishing, fishing in general. Gotta love it. Wednesdays, you'll be with me, hearing my wonderful voice, talking about the bay and the Atlantic Ocean and everything that, you know, goes along with it. We might even throw in some freshwater stuff, you know, here and there, when I get a chance to dive in some non-sodium areas. And then Thursdays are with the original, the favorite, Chip Cheehugger Gibson, and his Thursday night show. And I haven't forgot Isaac. I'm running across the 8 o'clock time schedule. Oh, I hear your child. I heard a child.
Sorry.
Oh, that's fine. You know, gotta get the youngins out there, and you know, we've you know, Chip's got a show at 8 o'clock Thursdays, the original show, and then Tuesday night after Rob's show at 10 Eastern, which be 7 Pacific, I believe, is Isaac the Nothing Miller's West Coast show. Everything from Washington to California. Congrats to Isaac. You know, I hope he does very well. I know he's got some great minds down south of him with Jim Sammons and Mr. Spiker. So hopefully things work out for him. And again, hopefully we can get things rolling with that. More people and everything else. Go ahead.
You know, there's kayak fishing radio shows are popping up like Hooters, you know. But the original Hooters, right down the street from me, buddy.
Yeah, well, the original kayak fishing radio show was north of you and south of me. So he's kind of sitting in the middle and just sitting back and going, my children are growing and multiplying. I know that's what Chip's thinking. Sitting there sucking on a unofficial brew of kayak fishing radio, the Sweetwater Blue. Which, folks, if you're in the Atlanta, Georgia area, you have got to pick up a six-pack of Sweetwater and enjoy it. Absolutely amazing microbrew. Again, that is the unofficial kayak fishing radio brew. Got to do that shameless plug, folks. So, again, we're wrapping up. I think we hit everyone that was on there. My chat room just bogged down. So, with that, we're going to say
Mark,
goodbye. Go, oh, go ahead, man.
Hey, where do I send my address?
If you want to send in fish reports, folks, that are on the podcast or whatever, you can actually send them to my Facebook page. It's Mark Wheeler Jr. You can't miss my mug sitting in the picture, or to landingcrew@yahoo.com, or even Facebook page at Kayak Fishing Radio Mid Atlantic. Any of them would work. If you're trying to be discreet, go ahead and email me at landingcrew@yahoo.com. Or landingcrew@facebook.com, and I will get them, and then either I'll post them up on the air, or if it's for a prize like what Mr. Choi and Mr. Greg Crisp are going to get, it'd be an address, and I'd send it out. All right, folks. Hopefully you're not getting too many of these this weekend. Because that is no fun to get caught in one of those. Hopefully you have beautiful skies and you know, following breezes to make your time out in the water enjoyable. And Mr. Choi, Mr. DeVore, and Chip, I hope you guys have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Have a great show tomorrow, Chip. Greg, it was an absolute pleasure to have you on. And folks, this ends the Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic edition for this day of May 18th, 2011. Hopefully you enjoyed it as much as I did. It was an absolute blast, and I hopefully get to see you next week. And need to give out the shout-out to my people I support, yakangler.com. IrishWaterDogs.com, KayakFishingRadio.com. We got to give it up to Blog Talk Radio for giving us everything we have here, and to the folks like you who make this possible. Thank you very, very much. And got to do that one more time with a little da-da-da-da-da. Again, folks, hopefully you get out fish this weekend. I know I will be. Y'all have a great night. Signing out.
See you.